right, glad you're here today as we continue talking about all the issues and subjects that matter to you most. I don't know if you saw this, but the Supreme Court, very skeptical, it seems, of the Department of Justice and its arguments about why those that were at January 6th have been punished so severely. Ed Martin is a J6 attorney, Patriot Freedom Project board member. He's joining me now. Ed, nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for the chance to talk, Steve. I always appreciate you taking up these issues. And as you mentioned, you're talking about the things people care about and what they should care about. So thank you.
Right. So the Department of Justice, they are on their back foot, it seemed to me.
Yeah.
Neil Gorsuch really put them on their back foot, but so did several others. John Roberts, surprisingly, put these folks on their back foot as well, saying, wait a second. Does that mean if I yell at the State of the Union address, I can be charged with a crime? If I obstruct anything, can I be charged with a crime? I mean, explain this so the folks have a clear understanding.
Yeah. Yeah, well, first of all, thank you. And this was a culmination a couple days ago, the argument before the Supreme Court, the fact that they took this up is a culmination of over 3 years of effort by lawyers and defendants of January 6th. In summary, after January 6th, someone in the Department of Justice, we don't know if it was Merrick Garland or who it was, decided to use a law that had never been used against protesters, against rioters, and they did it because it was a felony. It is a felony. It's called 1512C. And it's a felony for obstruction of official proceeding. Now, it's supposed to deal with evidence destruction. It's under the witness tampering statutes. But it was used in this case to say that when Mike Pence gaveled out the Electoral College count, that disrupted, that was an official proceeding, that was disrupted. And anyone who was in D.C. or near the Capitol who was there because of the electoral process and they were worried about the election, they were now guilty or charged with this felony. And really, Steve, what's evil about this and why we will get to the bottom of it in the next couple of years, I hope, is that when they charged this, they knew what they were doing. A, they could call all of the January 6th defendants now felons, charged with felonies. B, most of the January 6th defendants had minor charges. You know, you trespass, vandalize, maybe you do something that's like break a window, but most of them did nothing that was a felony conduct. I mean, look, if somebody hits a cop, you got a different charge. That wasn't 99% of the people there. They did it on purpose, the Department of Justice. And as you said, the Supreme Court was there saying, wait a second, finally, we got this one law up on appeal. We don't know why you're doing this. Why didn't you charge Code Pink when they disrupted the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, you know, a few years ago? Why didn't you charge Antifa when they disrupted the federal courts, when they're throwing Molotov cocktails at the court building, and on and on and on? And the reason why is it's selective prosecution. But the other reason is because the media and Congress, Liz Cheney, Nancy Pelosi, use this charge as a way to say, see, these are felons. These are really rotten. And it's put a bunch of people in jail, Steve. We got people in jail basically because of that one mischarge. And we're hopeful that the Supreme Court is going to reverse that and change it dramatically in a ruling that should come down in the next 2 months or so.
Well, the headline here from CBS News, and I want you to weigh in on this, Ed.
Yeah.
Supreme Court appears divided over obstruction law used to prosecute Trump and J6 rioters. I don't think they appeared to be divided at all. I mean, what I saw in the reporting on it was pretty clear. You don't really have a foot to stand, like to stand on here.
Well, it reminds me of a headline yesterday, I think, at Politico, where they said, whistleblower says Donald Trump could have done more for January 6th. Actually, the whistleblower said Donald Trump offered, and they didn't accept it. But in this case, you're right. The coverage has been silly because the division was maybe three of the liberals, and one of the liberals seemed sympathetic, but maybe three out of nine were skeptical. The other six more conservative ones, I think, are sort of negotiating whether to throw the whole law out or whether to limit its implementation. But at the end of the day, Steve, I go back to this. I got to worry about my guys in jail. We ought to worry about their families. The Patriot Freedom Project, patriotfreedomproject.com, that's what we're doing. But a bigger question for America, which comes up in November, is which direction do you want? We've got a weaponized, we've got a politicized Department of Justice, and we've got them using this against we the people. It's one thing to use it against Trump. I see it. You see it. It's another thing when you realize they used the IRS under Obama against Tea Party groups. Now they're using the Department of Justice against citizens. That's what's at stake. And we've got to be clear about it, whether the headlines are silly or not. That's what's at stake.
So how do you, I mean, you feel the same way I do then, that this looks like it's going to go the right way. And if it goes that way, is you such, how do you go back to people that were sentenced to, I mean, the sentencing for the J6 people has been way beyond the pale, way excessive sentences. But it also changes the trajectory for Donald Trump. Clearly, that's incredibly important, right?
Look, there's a couple of ways to answer. There's 350 people charged with this charge as the main charge.
Right.
If this gets struck down, you have to go back into court and say, resentence me. Don't count that one. Now, the Department of Justice has already said, we're going to seek enhancements on your other charges if you're convicted or pled guilty so that we can try to hold you. That's how nasty they are. But that's the first part. For the 350 that are held, but for the other 1,000, a lot of them are impacted by this. Donald Trump is one of them. His case immediately gets cut in half, if not more. But as importantly, I think the narrative continues to shift to people saying, what exactly went on there? Why are we being lied to? And what's happening? And I will tell you, my goal, Steve, is in the next administration with the next Congress to have a big pot of money and pay reparations to the January 6th people and have people who are really willing, prosecutors, to go after the staffers at the Select Committee on Capitol Hill, the Liz Cheney staffers, that the congressmen and women are immune, right, because they were doing their job, supposedly. But I try them as traitors, actually. But still, go after these people. And I want to know who in the Biden administration decided this strategy, because this strategy is aimed at citizens. And so
that's,
we got
right,
a lot of account-
and free speech and the Constitution and right, everything else and what we're supposed to stand for as a country, but stand for it less and less every day. And I want you to come back whenever you want. You come back and you give us an update and tell us what's happening. I'm up against a hard break here. Otherwise, I'd let you go a little bit longer, because I like what you're telling me. But real quick, do we win in the Supreme Court? Just a yes or no.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And
how sweeping it is a different question. But yes, we win, and it's a big win.
All right, Ed Martin. Thank you, January 6th attorney. Thank you for being here. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, if we had more time, I'd talk to him. What a bunch of great guests today. Sarah is to be commended here. By the way, Marsha Blackburn, Senator of Tennessee, still coming today. You don't want to miss any of it. Follow us at stevegruber.12. Back with sports.
Have you developed a complex medical issue or symptoms no one can figure out? It may be time to give the James Clinic a call. We're an integrative medicine clinic that works outside the box with a full spectrum of modalities to treat your issues. We are opening soon at 22nd and Van Dyke in Shelby Township with our partners, The Living Springs, with an entire wellness lounge at your disposal. Check us out today, jamesclinic.com, or give us a call, 636-751-9440.
Sure, there are a million reasons keeping you from going back to school, but here's one solid reason to let go of them all. Michigan Reconnect can help you earn a community college degree tuition-free. So go ahead, explore your calling, uncover more opportunities, and find where you're meant to be. Get started on your tuition-free journey today at michigan.gov/reconnect. Sponsored by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and the Michigan Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity.